Brandon McDuffie, who is a native of the Roaring Fork Valley, just completed a short film called Silverline Valentine, a cerebral romance of a short film. The film shows four times tonight at the launch pad as part of its first Friday festivities, and Brandon joins Express Yourself today. Welcome, Brandon.
Thank you very much.
Also joining us is the cinematographer for the project, Ian Morrison. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
And I remember you when you were about waist high to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were part of Youth Radio here at KD&K, weren't you?
Absolutely. Huh. We used to have a show on, I don't know, Wednesdays or something.
Okay. And Brandon, did you ever, were you part of Youth Radio also?
Unfortunately, I wasn't.
But you grew up in Carbondale.
Yeah, yeah, for the most part, yeah. I'm from Missouri originally, but I've been here over 25 years. So.
How about that? Yeah. Yeah. And the two of you met as clerks at Sounds Easy Video?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, be still my beating heart. This is just amazing to me. How, is that what engendered your love for film?
Part of it, for sure. Definitely working there let me open some doors to watch some interesting films there, and definitely sprouted my filmmaker roots.
Mm-hmm. what films caught your eye and your ear?
That's an interesting question.
I was thinking the other day about how we used to play tapes and DVDs like at the counter when
right.
people would walk in.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that old animated Hobbit movie.
Yeah,
that's one that really resonates for me.
Yeah, for sure.
I dig that one out of the shelves. I just love the music in that.
Yeah.
Who was the music? I don't remember that one.
It's like some folksy score. It's good, but they have some really engaging animation too, kind of psychedelic almost.
Oh, interesting. And that predated Lord of the Rings and Hobbit and all that?
Yeah, before Peter Jackson got into it.
How about that?
It's good.
Wow. It was animated.
Yeah.
Oh, now that's pretty cool. Did he have all the adventures and everything else?
Yeah, it's like the whole story of the Hobbit, condensed.
Yeah, it's super condensed.
Yeah.
How about that? Well, Brandon, let's talk about, both of you. Let's talk about your new project. It's called Silverline Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is a cerebral romance?
Well, basically, I adapted this story from my good friend, Renee Cousineau. She wrote a short story. She's a fabulous writer. And she sent me some of her projects. And so when I read this one, it was originally called America's Most Wanted. And when she sent me this, it was really compelling, and it seemed just like almost a genre changer. And so basically I am trying to not give away basically a surprise ending that's at the end with the labeling it.
I know it's really it's really tough to talk about, but
it kind of is.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil it because it's not only it's definitely a surprise ending.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's sort of the philosophical point of the whole whole movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
But you went the whole nine yards. You did an Indiegogo campaign, which was successful.
Yeah. We reached our goal, and that was awesome. We actually went over our goal. And I was always in the past like hesitant on crowdfunding just because it's a personal passion project, and I was always weird about having other people pay for that dream to come true personally, but I just, I felt really strongly about it. And after the support of my friends, Jeremiah Hutchins and, Veronica Glass and Max Barbineau, who's the producer, Veronica's also a producer. After they just kind of I've been doing a lot of paid projects, with Jeremiah, just around here in the Valley. And I hadn't made my own short film since a film called New Broken Calculator back in 2010. So I just felt like it was finally time to maybe just spread the wings and do it. And so I needed some help with that. And I got it.
You had a complete cast and crew, didn't you?
Yeah. We have Sophie Saxon, who's actually from the Valley, kind of here. She graduated from Bridges, and Max knew her because he went to Bridges, and that's how we kind of connected with her. She's living out in LA right now, so it was kind of perfect because we were out there doing pre-production, and we had her come and read, and she was fabulous.
Yeah, she did a beautiful job.
Yeah,
she really did.
Yeah, and she hooked us up with Robert Livingston, who is the other lead in the film, and they had done acting class together. So when they came and read for me, like, they just had chemistry right off the bat. And I knew, like, I didn't even hold that much of a casting. It was like pretty much like the two first people that came were just happened to be perfect, which was awesome.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that made your job easy.
Yeah.
Did you do all the casting yourself?
Yeah. Me and Max and Veronica helped out a lot too.
Well, you have multiple credits. You're the writer, the director, the editor.
Yeah.
Casting director.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It usually goes that way on a short film.
Sure, it yeah. does, of course. Yeah. Do you feel like this is a good calling card for what you think you can do?
I would like to think so, but it's interesting because a lot of my other projects kind of differentiate, like, a lot, you know, like the first one I ever did was an animation, like kind of a satirical animation. Then we made VHS PD, which was just kind of a straight comedy, and that was during film school. And then coming out of film school, I developed this script called New Broken Calculator that was kind of like a kind of a heart jerker drama. And then this one is kind of what it is. So, I'm not said. my filmography doesn't really paint a clear picture on what I like to do. So.
Where did you guys go to film school? Did you both go to film school?
Yeah, we Same went to one? Colorado Film School.
Where is Denver. That? In Denver.
It's kind of on the edge of Denver there, almost Aurora. But it was a good time there. We got a lot of technical background and met a lot of really good people, and yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, it was.
Making good connections.
Yeah.
And exactly. Good work, too. I think we had some pieces come out of there that I was very proud of. New Broken Calculator in particular, which we also shot on 16mm.
Yeah, that was really important for us. Actually had to fight a little bit to shoot on film, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun,
you know, as a cinematographer. And I wonder if it was a little challenging because most of the all of the film takes place in a pretty confined space. Does that make things difficult for a cinematographer?
You know, it definitely is constricting. I think the typical Hollywood process would be to, you know, take that bus, chop it up into pieces, take the wheels off, you know, throw it in a studio, green screen, you know, all that whole setup. We actually shot on the road. We went down to New Mexico and shot this thing in the bus, which, you know, it was difficult for me. I think it was difficult for everybody concerned. Yeah, because we're all, you know, the whole crew was on the bus with the exception of a couple people, you know, in cars. So it was definitely a challenge, but I think we achieved our goals. Like, yeah. I really think that we've got our vision dialed in with this thing. That's what I'm the most proud of with it.
It's funny because we not only struggled during principal photography, but like when my audio guys, which I had really talented guys from Los Angeles, Tom Marks, and he basically told me, he's like, yeah, he's like, well, he's like, normally you would just put it on a process trailer and you wouldn't have the bus running. And he's like, that would make things a lot easier. And I was like, yeah, sorry about that. I was like, we kind of had to, you know, we were shooting, you could see out the window in a lot of the shots. And so I was like, we kind of need to, I can't afford to put a whole bus on a trailer and do that whole big production kind of thing.
Right.
I was lucky enough just to get the bus itself for a reasonable price.
And you found the bus in New Mexico, which is why you shot it there. Is
that
right?
Yeah. My producer, Max, he hunted down this guy called Casey Duncan, named Casey Duncan. He does a lot of the production vehicle stuff for New Mexico, worked on Breaking Bad and Hell or High Water, things like that. And so we called him up and had a conversation, and he was able to get us a bus for a really good price for 3 days. Mm-hmm. When we were looking for this stuff in L.A., it was just insanely expensive per day. Yeah. Plus, you have to hire a driver. We were able to get a guy that just owned the bus and drove it around and was in the movie. And it was really cool. New Mexico was an awesome place to shoot a movie.
Yeah.
Santa Fe, New Mexico is where we were. And we really enjoyed it. I probably will definitely be going back there for future projects.
Why did you like it? What was it that you liked?
It's just the scenery is so beautiful out there. Uh-huh. And they're so welcoming to filmmaking because, you know, the market out there is there, but it's not, it's kind of slim, I would say. I don't know, for a lot of, like, nothing like Atlanta or anything like that.
Yeah. It was a good time. I think there was a lot of good people down there too. And, you know, the people were welcoming to filmmaking too. And, you know, just, really felt like it was the right place to be. And it looked like what we wanted. And, you know, to go back to the process aspect of shooting the bus on a stage, you know, seeing out the window, I think it became part of the movie, you know, like that the real feeling of being on a bus, which you might not know is pretty boring, but you get to see some beautiful things. So,
right.
Well, that's part of the charm of the movie, because everybody grinds it out when they ride the bus. You know, you see maybe some things that you don't really want to see or whatever, and yet here's this beautiful young couple who basically fall in love within 20 minutes,
right,
more or less, on the bus, on a long-haul bus trip, which is... and, you know, I want to compliment you on your writing. I don't know how much of it was lifted directly from the short story, but you know, when they first met, and he thought she was an English major because she was reading a Hemingway book, and she thought he was a philosopher because of something.
Yeah, he just kind of had this philosophical line that she just kind of poked at him for.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. You know, like I was saying, the short story had a lot of internal dialogue with the female character.
Oh, okay.
And it was interesting trying to adapt it into a screenplay. And I remember Renee, when I sent her the first draft of my script, she said, "It's awesome." She's like, "But are you going to change anything?" and I just love your writing so much. And I was like, "Oh, you're right. I kind of did just plagiarize you." I was like, "I should probably make it my own in some way."
So how did you express that internal monologue? Was it in gazes and physical actorly things?
Yeah, it's basically, and that's why you need good actors that can act with their face rather than just pure dialogue and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think we achieved that.
Yeah, I think you did too.
I really, really appreciate what they did for the film.
Well, before I let you gentlemen go, let's talk a little bit about what's happening tonight over at the Launchpad for First Friday. You're showing it four times?
That's correct. 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, and 7:30. I've been trying to urge people to get there kind of right on those times because it is only 15 minutes long, and, you know, people might come in the middle, and then they'll just completely be lost.
And then they'll be blown away.
Yeah.
See the ending.
Yeah, exactly. I want people to see it in its entirety, so trying to get people to be there on time. Not trying to be demanding, but, you know,
sure.
I to fully experience it.
Well, and it's a bit of a different, you know, sort of screening schedule. So,
right.
You know, come on down. We're doing multiple screenings. So if you do come in the middle, you know, you can catch the beginning
of
right,
and see
exactly.
the whole movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And according to the materials I saw on the Carbondale Arts website, this is meant to raise a little money for you for the festival trail.
Yeah, and I don't feel totally good about that, but you know, because I
well,
you know, the crowdfunding,
I think you're being
aspect,
too modest, dude.
Probably
go for it, man. You got to find your audience, and there's people that are willing to help you do
I know
that.
And I really appreciate it. I just you know, people don't realize how expensive festivals can add up to. You know, some festivals might be $10 to submit. Some are even $100. So when you multiply that by 20, 30 festivals, it adds up quite a bit. And so I kind of just wanted to do an impromptu, like, spare change kind of, you know, if any little bit helps. And I'm also, I didn't mention this before, but I'm going through some music licensing issues right now. And there's some people that are working with me, and there's some people that aren't. You'd be surprised how expensive a 1940s song could be to license.
How about that?
Trying to sift through that.
So if you have to change things, you would do that in the editing room? How would you?
That's
do
my
that?
Problem is I'm kind of just dead set on doing what I can to use the song because it's an important song to me.
Yeah.
I'm not only a fan of the song, but the song was there with me when I was writing the script. It was there with me when I was revising the script. There's times that I would read the ending with that song starting to play and just envisioning the ending exactly how I wanted it. And when I finally finished the film and got it exactly how I wanted it, it was such an amazing feeling, like getting it exactly how I wanted it. And so I'm really stubborn on using anything else, and I'm going to do everything in my power to to make sure that it stays in the film.
Including enduring a round of fundraising
in
Carbondale,
exactly.
Colorado, among your friends and neighbors.
Yeah.
Hey, well, so what are your ideas? Taking it out on the road and putting it in, what festivals do you have your eye on?
Well, obviously, I've already submitted to Aspen Shorts Fest. I've had films in that festival in the past. And so I'm really hoping that we can get this one in there too. And then I kind of like Aspen Shorts Fest was my big boy I wanted to go after. And then I kind of wanted to just do a bunch of smaller festivals, just get it out there, get it exposed as much as I can. And yeah, we'll see.
Well, Brandon McDuffie, thank you for joining Express Yourself.
Thank you.
Ian Morrison, you too.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck to both of you, and look forward to seeing more of your work down the road.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All right, stay with us. There is more to come on Express Yourself.